Welcome to episode 97 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This is Eric Brzezinski back from Cincinnati, where I missed most of the PGA, and Alan Olson in Minnesota, where he live blogged the final round of the PGA, so he's our go-to guy this week.
And what a great final round it was.
Patrick Harrington wins second consecutive major and his third of the last five.
Very impressive. Obviously they had some, I don't say weird weather, but I don't know. I was in Detroit the week before that, and it was about 90 every day. So it looked like fall came early, and we got some cool weather and a bunch of rain, which actually helped the course out a little bit.
What are the conditions British Open like? Not quite.
Not quite, but there's still, I think the winds were getting up to about 25, I think they were gusting up to, which was about the bottom end of the British Open. But it kind of looked the feel. You had guys wearing the rain suits cruising around out there, and looked like a decent amount of fans were going home or abandoning the Ben Curtis group anyway.
Can't call them fans then, can you?
No. And overall, I don't know, after the first couple days, it was a PGA Championship, and it looked like a U.S. Open had broken out. Tough course.
We can't say that anymore because the U.S. Open has become a bit more tame than even the PGA now.
Yes, absolutely.
It looked like a Masters broke out, you could say, nowadays.
That's probably a more accurate picture with the way the USGA has set up the last couple courses. You know, they had the washout for the most part of Saturday, and you're just thinking, wow, final round major is tough enough, and you're going to have the leaders having to play 36.
Well, see, they made the comment, too, I think, on Saturday in the coverage. They said, you know, if someone gets hot on the final day, since it's 36 holes, you can make up a lot more ground. I mean, that seems to be kind of what happened to Patrick Harrington. I played 9 holes on Sunday morning to finish up his third round, shot 4 under on those 9 holes to leap from well back in the field right into the next to last group.
Yeah, you know, he really wasn't in the picture at all. I mean, I think he was on the second or maybe even third page of the leaderboard, and all of a sudden he goes out there and fires a 66 on, you know, for his third round, and all of a sudden he just, you know, shoots up the leaderboard. Yeah, it was definitely, Sunday morning was moving day, that was for sure.
He finished it off really well. Sergio Garcia, I got one text message the entire time because most people knew I was away and probably didn't want to know the outcome until I could check myself. The one text message I got from someone who will go unnamed was "Yo quiero agua," and at that point I was like, oh, because I mean, how many Spaniards are there in the field?
Yeah.
So did Sergio Garcia choke? That's the question I have. He shot like a 68 or something. So
it's really hard to sit there and say that he choked when, you know, he played great golf. You know, the first 15 holes
he bogeyed 16 though, which isn't exactly a bogey hole. He misses a putt that was inside of Patrick Harrington's birdie putt after a great iron shot on 17. I saw that highlight, and he bogeys 18 after a horrible drive when he had to at least par. So his whole entire final round might not have been a choke, but those 3 holes, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen it yet again, but I'd be tempted to say...
Yeah, I mean, it's very tough to say, like you said, for the first 15 holes, he was lights out. He was driving the ball. It would be interesting to see what the final, as far as the, you know, driving statistics, because he was just absolutely crushing the ball and getting down, you know, getting up and down from everywhere. And he looked like it was the Sergio of old for putting. His putting looked, I mean, even his misses were just, you know, lipping out or just burning the edge, or, you know, he just looked like he was hitting every putt where he wanted to. And for those 3 holes, I don't know, did the nerves get to him? You know,
well, the Sergio of old wouldn't have dunked a ball off the tee on 16 and hit a squawker right on 18, right? Those shots set up, you know, or highlighted or put more emphasis on his putting game, though, too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 2 putts for par on 18 and 16 leave him tied with Harrington, even with the missed putt on 17. So,
well,
you know, if he pars 18 and 16 after not hitting the ball in horrible places off the tee, which is supposedly his strong suit, he's tied.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to believe that, you know, for the guy who drives it as straight as he does, he gets it toward the end when it really starts getting, you know, to the where he's got to put it in the fairway, and he kind of failed. And, you know, he's hitting, you know, on 16, he had, I think, a 5-wood off the tee or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I mean, you're good, but, I mean, Harrington hit a 3-wood and had, you know, a lot shorter iron into the green as opposed to Sergio. And, you know, he had to cover the entire length of the water, whereas, you know, Harrington had a relatively easy shot. So.
Right. We'll go down the leaderboard here and you can give me some thoughts on the guys. Ben Curtis, I know he avoided the water to a fault there on 16, perhaps.
Yeah. Mr. Hospitality 10. You know, Ben Curtis, you got hats off.
Did he choke it away?
I don't think he choked it away. I think he just got...
It wasn't his day?
it just wasn't his day. You know, he played about as well as a Ben Curtis would. You know, he's won a major. He's won, you know, a couple other tournaments. But, I mean, it's who he was.
I was rooting for him to win, truth be told, because, you know, I don't know. I was. He's a top American finisher, too, so we'll give him credit for that. Camilo Villegas tied for fourth at plus one.
Played lights out. You know,
67-68 on the weekend there.
You know, really didn't. Unfortunately, he didn't get to see a ton of his round. There again, you know, here's somebody who tons of talent. Everybody's looking for the next best star.
You have to win on the PGA Tour.
Is this a good? You know, is this a springboard? I mean, here's another guy hits it a mile. Little faulty with the flat stick, and you know, he putted it reasonably well. So
Henrik Stenson.
Oh, I would if. If anybody,
He shot 72 in the last round. So.
Yeah, if you want to give somebody the choke label, I would have to say
JB Holmes might get that.
Well, he gets the choke of the day. Stenson gets the partial choke of the day. His driving killed him.
Yeah, and Steve Flesh shot a 69. Phil Mickelson held steady with a 70 and even par. So Phil at plus four, seven shots out of the first, but still a tied for seventh.
And there again, you know, Phil needed to go low, and he just didn't. You know, didn't really do much. You know, he had Andres Romero played, shot 72 after, you know, shooting a 65 of all things before the weather came in, and quite impressive. You know, still a young guy. And you know,
my pick, Boo Weekly, shoots a 66, but it follows a 79, so that pretty much killed his chances there. So. Oh, well. Thanks a lot, Boo. Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. You know, Justin Rose moved up.
Some okay finishes by whatever. I think 11 players made the cut in all four majors, I read somewhere, too. So,
yep.
Congratulations to those 11 guys. Robert Carlson did not complete the top 10 slam this year, I guess. He wasn't listed in the top 10, so sorry. We'll be right back.
I mark my tire list with a black line and a red line. Black dot over the nine.
A red line through the side stamp.
With a dot between the tire list and the number.
With Korean flag.
I mark my ball with a kangaroo. Does anybody else do it like this?
Check it out.
Out on tour.
It's not how you mark your golf ball, it's how you mark your tire list.
How do you mark your tire list?
In our beating ball segment, first story we get, and we'll link to this in the show notes, in Golf World, a new number two, not so fast. Basically, does it count for Patty to win a second straight major? But does it count with Tiger in the field?
Well, that's the weird thing. Patrick Harrington is not number two when the official world golf rankings came out Monday afternoon or whatever they come out. He's not number two. Tiger's still first with 18.36. That'll probably stay that way until he returns. Phil Mickelson is second still with 9.87. Granted, he finished T7th, but he hasn't won a major since the 2006 Masters. Patrick Harrington has won three. And Patrick Harrington comes in at third at 7.85 points. I don't know. Patrick Harrington plays a lot in Europe. He's only played 12 events on the PGA Tour, and of course all the WGCs count towards that and all the majors count. So outside of that, he's played, you know, three PGA Tour events. So I think that hurts him a lot, but yikes. I mean, he's still two full points behind.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're looking at it from the last year, okay, yes, he's de facto number two.
You can go back the last 2 years. I mean, go all the way back to the start of 2006. Phil's got one major, he's got three.
Mm-hmm.
It's boggles the mind. But this perhaps is part of the problem with winning two majors when Tiger's not in the field, because it's a strength of field thing. And Tiger at 18, you know, I don't know that one guy can really severely shove the average off, but clearly has.
Yeah, it does definitely seem, not so much that it is Harrington number two, it's of everybody that wins when Tiger's not in the field, and especially not in the majors. I'm not sure they're really getting the full credit they deserve for winning a major, because
it'll be interesting to see what happens when 2009 Masters rolls around and Phil's Masters win is totally off the books, because he's not won since then. He's not won a major since then. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when Phil's major gets wiped off the books and what happens at that point, because then it will be 0-3. So
yeah, absolutely.
We'll see.
Absolutely.
Sergio Garcia, I know I ragged on him quite a bit, deservedly so, I think, for his reaction after Patrick Harrington won the British Open last year in the playoff against Sergio. This year he seems to be a little bit more refined in his post-round reaction. Still not as much as complimentary of Patrick as I'd like to see, but less, you know, of the there's more than just the golfers conspiring against me kind of stuff.
Yeah, I, you know, after seeing him, you know, just jar the flag stick, on 15. You're just sitting there going, wow, if he loses, that's going to be the first words out of his mouth. Everybody else hits the flagstick and it goes in. I hit the flagstick and it lands 8 feet away. And he didn't. But like he said, still not, didn't really pay Harrington the respect that he deserved for winning. You know, for coming that far back as he was, you know, off the leaderboard to be able to win. So he's getting there. He's more mature. You know, he's still only 28, I guess, if we want to give him that. But yeah, you know, it was one of his better post-round interviews we've seen. And hopefully it just leads to better things. And you know, he gets a little bit more of a fan base in the U.S., although it'll probably have to wait until after the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I wonder who Garcia hates more now, Tiger Woods or Patrick Harrington, because by my count, he's lost majors to both of them, like 2-2. Tiger Medina for the PGA and Bethpage for the U.S. Open, and obviously Patrick at the British Open and now the PGA. So I don't know, it's a close race in Sergio's mind, perhaps, whether he, whose picture is on the dartboard right now.
I still have to think it.
Right now?
Yeah, right now?
Right now, it'd be Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. Big picture, probably still Tiger, though, just because everybody compares him. You know, everybody's trying to find a rival for Tiger, and it's been Sergio, who really hasn't done a whole heck of a lot. But
right.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
But he's played his way onto the Ryder Cup team. He was actually outside the list, I believe, at the start of the week. He was sixth on both of the five-point lists that they keep, the five-place list. Is that right?
Yes.
But now he's played his way on, so we will see Sergio Garcia. He will not be a captain's pick. I'm sure Nick Faldo is happy with that he will not have to use a captain's pick on Sergio Garcia. Who'd he bump out? Justin Rose, it says, knocks out Oliver Wilson and Soren Hansen. So I'm sure Nick Faldo is happy with that.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting to see kind of the bottom half prior to going into the PGA, who was on the European Ryder Cup team. There's still a couple guys, you know, Paul Casey and Ian Poulter, who still have to, they're still on the outside looking in.
That'll shape up over the next couple of weeks, because Nick Faldo has till the end of the month to make his picks, I believe. So.
And one guy who is apparently shooting himself out of potential picks is good old Monty. So we'll see how that plays out.
We won't see him there. That's that. Despite the final round heroics of Patrick Harrington and the mix of Sergio Garcia and I guess nobody else, really. Sorry, Ben, but I guess you're not really a somebody. The TV ratings were pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable that it ends up overnight rating for the PGA Championship was a 3, which is down 55% from last year's final round at Southern Hills. And okay, yeah, Tiger won it last year. Okay, I get that.
55%, though. I mean, that's half as many people watching or not watching golf. That sucks.
That is extremely bad. I mean, I can see for...
How much of a role do you think the course setup plays in that? Because... You know, it's more exciting to see people making birdies, and they could last year at Southern Hills, and they couldn't so much this year.
I think that plays a big part into it. I think the casual golf fan wants to see these guys hit at 320. And
they want to see cheers and things they can cheer for.
Yeah, they want us to be able to see the birdies and the eagles, and unfortunately, Oakland Hills wasn't set up that way at all.
All right.
For the most part, par was a good score with only three guys you know, being under par for the tournament.
Luke Donald was not under par. He wasn't even at the tournament, and he's out for the year after surgery on his left wrist. I don't think he was going to make the Ryder Cup team anyway, but given his injury, which occurred at the U.S. Open, but now he's out for the year. So he'll be playing Luke Donald golf on his Nintendo Wii, maybe, while recuperating.
I don't know. Can you do that with a surgery on his left wrist? Maybe he'll have to play Madden 2009
just
or something.
It's, you know.
And on that note.
Yeah.
Amanda Blumenhurst, who was pretty much Miss Amateur Golf.
Dominated golf at the college scene, yes.
For the past 4 years. She was a 3-time National Collegiate Play of the Year. She earned a 2-1 victory over the reigning, this year's reigning Division I individual champion. And I'm not even going to bother trying.
Azahara Munoz. That's an easy
Thank
one.
You.
Azahara
Thank,
Munoz.
Thank
of course,
you.
Amanda Blumenhurst lost last year on the 36th hole, the last hole of the U.S. Women's Amateur, so she redeems herself by winning this year. Quick note in this PGA-heavy edition, congratulations to Amanda Blumenhurst. We'll see what she does on the pro level. And that about does it for episode 97 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. This was our PGA Championship edition. For links to all the stories we talked about, check our show notes out online. And for Alan Olson, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, not yet, Sergio, perhaps next year. Cubs fans will know what I'm talking about.
Quit aiming for the water.